This is episode number 11. Life is about creating and living experiences that are worth sharing. Writing a book makes you an expert in the field. At the very least, when you hand someone a book you wrote, it is more impressive than handing a business card.
Welcome to the Innovateology podcast, where it is all about unleashing the creative side to find those brilliant, disruptive ideas to validate and build innovative solutions to solve life's problems.
All right, so welcome back to Innovateology. Thank you so much for listening. This is your host, Mary, and I'm also joined by Linda.
Hi, Mary.
Today, we are going to be talking about self-publishing. So I've heard that everyone has at least one book in them. Until recently, publishing a book was a daunting task, mostly reserved for those who were driven by some mysterious muse to persist with their craft against the odds. Once a writer endured that journey of writing a book, they had to undertake the task of submitting their books to many publishers, hoping that one would show interest or show expressed interest in what they were writing. Unpublished writers, like actors, had to so-called real jobs in order to survive day by day. That kind of sounds like the artists in Paris, right? during the Renaissance and beyond, just trying to, you know, you had to have that day job to do what you love to do. Yeah. But that's all changed. Now anyone can become an author today, and we actually encourage you to do so. So today with my guest, Linda, and she's also our co-host, we're going to answer some questions. So why you should consider becoming an author, how you can write a book without too much sweat, blood, or tears, who can help you publish that book. So Linda, why don't we jump right into that situation and go right into that first question of the value of self-publishing, even for those who can't write. So what is that value for our audience of self-publishing? And let's say that they're not that confident in writing. So what can we do?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think I'll start off with just a little background. I was actually a literature and language arts major in school. And most of my professional roles, which included public affairs and marketing, typically involved writing and editing. Still, I wasn't somebody who ever had this burning desire to write a book like so many other people I knew. Certainly, there were ideas for books that would pop into my head from time to time, but I would readily give them away to people because I just really didn't have that sense of that feeling of endurance and really the desire to sit down and, you know, slave at a desk to complete a book. And I appreciated how much effort it took in a very close way, because both my sister and one of my brothers spent years writing books of their own. And so I heard particularly from my sister all of the, you know, struggle and pains of actually getting to the point of completing it. But that kind of changed for me when I became leader of a group of professionals who were navigating the white waters of an industry contraction. I really became struck by some of the stories I was hearing of their journeys, and not just the journeys that were strictly professional, you know, looking for the job, but really insights that they acquired about themselves and life and so on in the process of going through kind of this professional tumult. And I felt their stories were actually so inspirational and motivational that they really should be told. And because I'm pretty aware of my strengths and weaknesses, I reached out to a person who had been a former leader of this group, who I thought had some strengths to complement my weaknesses, to see if she had an interest in working with me, and she quickly said yes. So then what happened was really nice. I spoke about the idea to some other people, and I started to receive like lots of great support, which, you know, so many times people say when you're in a like a great path or a positive path, you're encouraged by support that just seems to come from all over the place. One person gave me the name of her self-publisher, and she also provided tips for working with them because she published several books on her own. And then someone else referred me to various digital to a friend of hers who had done various digital books. And she suggested, you know, a kind of strategy for approaching this, which would make it less daunting.
So I'm curious, who did you choose as your self-publisher?
Well, there's many out there, but we ended up working with iUniverse. And what we really liked about iUniverse was that they had a variety of packages at varying costs. And fortunately for us, the person who referred us to iUniverse had actually been someone who had written several books, and she kind of knew what worked and what didn't and where you got the most bang for the money. So we chose a rather basic package with some limited editing, some limited marketing support that came in just under $1,000, which is pretty doable for anybody who wants to undertake a task like that. And we really felt reassured that iUniverse also offered a digital platform that would be compatible with all the key distribution channels, so such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And there's a cadre of other lesser-known distribution channels, but they actually, you know, had made this distinction. I think a lot of self-publishing companies have kind of come along since then, but they were kind of unique in that way at the time. And then they also provided a marketing point of view to help us gauge the likely interest in our book based upon, you know, the topics that we shared and the points of view and so on. And they actually also would help you to make adjustments to your book in order to improve its appeal. So it was a great learning experience. So I think doing this is not only something that's great for the ultimate product, but also for learning about a different space. The publisher also offered a few printed copies of the book that came along with our package. And interestingly, they gave us 24 digital comps with our package, which we were able to offer to a lot of people who supported us along the way. So that was really nice. And the various people that we worked with at the self-publishing company, I was very impressed with their professionalism and their responsiveness. And, you know, as writers do, they reach snags sometimes. And so we reached a snag and it really lagged our process quite a bit. In fact, it was about 6 months where we weren't making much progress at all. And I think because they're used to writers, that they rode along the snag with us to ultimately to the resolution.
So it sounds like a publisher is almost like a coach, right?
Yeah,
so they're kind of getting you on that track to finish that book. Because, you know, if you think about the person that's just becoming athletic in their life, mm-hmm. the first thing that they're going to say is, oh my gosh, this is so hard, because you look at a book and it's 500 pages long and you can't break it up in chunks because you're thinking, I'm going to run that marathon tomorrow. Mm-hmm. How am I going to do it? So,
Actually, I can't run a marathon tomorrow, but
you get what I'm saying. I think it almost, what you're saying is that it's almost like a coach for you.
Totally. Actually, that's a great analogy, because I felt, you know, uncertain as I, you know, we made our first call, but quickly after speaking with the first couple of folks, it really helped to build our confidence that this was something really doable. So you're totally right. They support you as a coach.
So I'm curious, did they give you like a template in any way of how to write those chapters, or, you know, how to compile that research or that information that you needed to compile for that book and then put it into baby steps of what you needed to do along the way for the reviews? Did they kind of help you in that as well too?
They didn't so much, I mean, for how we chose to actually approach it and do our research and everything, they kind of left us to do it. However, I mean, certainly you could get kind of the deluxe package that even included somebody helping you to do research and so on. But for the package that we had, they helped us along with, and so far as once we had actually the text, then they had a framework for us to more or less drop our text into. And then we went into things like, you know, the fonts we wanted, what look did we want for the cover, and, you know, the colors we wanted and all that fun stuff, really, about just the appearance of the book and then how the chapters would flow and, that sort of thing. They already had kind of a place for us to start. So it wasn't a daunting thing to say, where do we go from here? But in a way, the nice thing about our book was that it kind of wrote itself in the sense that it was a compilation of job-seeking journeys of the varied professionals that we worked with in this group. So they included lawyers and scientists and doctors and sales and marketing people. So it was quite a variety of people. And, you know, many of them, I would say the bolus of the people who participated were like in their 40s. So it was kind of people who had been seasoned professionals. There were a few people here and there who were, starting in their career paths. And there were more, just a couple of people who were kind of more headed towards retirement. But I'd say a lot of people were at that point in their lives too, where they had a lot of life experience, and the whole job search thing took them down a path of even, re-examining life purpose and so on. So it was interesting. But so to get back to the book, the challenge for us, because we had the benefit of, the journeys already, we took interviewed them and, had consistency with kind of the questions we asked. Everybody were consistent. But we had the challenge of harmonizing the tone throughout the book, because, of course, everyone you interview has a different speaking style and a different, phraseology. So I would say the greatest effort on our part in terms of writing and rewriting was really making sure we were consistent in terms of the voice throughout the book. And I would say that's where it definitely helps to have a partner involved, because many years ago, early in my career, I was an editor, professional editor, and it would never cease to amaze me that you could read something for what seemed like 100 times over, and another fresh set of eyes could find an error or something that needed to be adjusted. So it's always useful, particularly with writing, to have another set of eyes to kind of help to catch those errors. Because another thing with self-publishing, of course, is they allow so many, corrections for free. But once you get into, a lot of churn with, oh, we missed this and we want that corrected, well, there's a point where they start charging for corrections, because let's face it, could probably go on forever. So so that's kind of a real encouragement to say, catch as many errors on your own. So I'd say after my experience, I definitely could appreciate the many advantages of self-publishing. Because first of all, it's still new enough that a lot of people you meet are impressed just to hear that you've self-published a book. It's really a nice icebreaker, because, whether you're in just a, social setting that's non-business, mentioning that you self-published a book, like bringing it up, if you there's lots of ways that topics, there are so many people that are in various transitions that actually, for me, introducing the themes of this book really was kind of easy. And it was just a nice icebreaker when meeting people. And, when you're at a loss for an opener, sometimes just throwing out a little factoid or insight that you got from doing your research for a book is helpful, and it usually leads to a nice conversation. And I know personally, I never get tired of hearing what other people have written about, because I encounter more and more people now who have actually taken to the task of doing their own self-publishing.
No, so I think I think it's kind of interesting what you just brought up about a great icebreaker.
Uh-huh.
So with a book and having, you know, met so many people along that journey of writing this particular book where it was mostly interviews, it's wonderful because what you're doing is you're sharing experiences. You have a multitude of experiences that you've gathered, you've read through, you've almost lived with them in that particular essay that they wrote about themselves, that now you are able to share that. You're able to impact someone else's lives with 30 other people's stories to help them get through that situation.
And you're right. And that actually was one of the real fulfilling pieces of it, because these folks all had something to take away. There was all actions that they learned from their own journeys that what we were able to share through the book. And I did some presentations on the book and to some various groups of folks, that it was just a real thrill to be able to have a way to kind of, you know, pay forward, help people to learn, you know, some tips to save them some time and help them in their own journey. So yeah, it was definitely nice.
Would you say that self-publishing helped give you more confidence in what you do on a daily basis?
Yeah, I think so, because it was just a new learning experience. And I think anytime you kind of tread your toes into some new waters and you learn something new, it's great. So, and I think the confidence comes from that when I have mentioned it in different settings, that right away people start asking questions and are curious, and, you know, and I find myself encouraging other people to try it. And so it definitely helps you feel like, well, you've gotten, I wouldn't say I've gotten mastery, but I've certainly gotten some experience that I can share. So it does build self-confidence, yes.
And so from self-confidence, it's almost like you can use this as a way to market yourself.
Yeah.
A way to kind of say, hey, I've had this experience of interviewing these other people that have gone through this journey. And here's this collective resource of minds that I'm putting into this book that now I can help you. How have you seen that evolve?
Yeah, well, what I found from actually talking to enough people, because the people in the book actually are just a sampling of the people that I've come across with as I worked with this group, and you start to see patterns. So one of the interesting things was it was a sort of market research, and I started to see something take shape in terms of, you know, phases that people went through, and they were pretty consistent and, you know, kept playing out the same way. So I think when you're able to extrapolate from, you know, the experience of a larger group and actually offer those insights, that's you know, it feels good. It's nice to be able to contribute to help others, and it helps build your own self-confidence. And I do agree with you, Mary, that it's a great self-marketing tool. And that's something that people may feel, well, how the heck do I go about using a book as a self-marketing tool? But, you know, a great thing about it is not only that it's the you know, icebreaker, but you have a good reason to reach out to your network. And what I found is, in the case of the book we put together, there's all sorts of different, you know, informational tidbits. So there's a variety of different angles for messaging. And so for people who perhaps haven't read the book or accessed it yet, you can have the benefit of just sharing some of the insights and tips that you've put together in your book. And that gives you a reason to, through your LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever social, you know, Twitter, whatever social channel you prefer, to really have a reason to repeatedly tap them, your network, and to help them with something that's value for them.
So I like what you said about a marketing tool, but I think what's interesting about this particular marketing tool when you self-publish is that you're sharing and you're giving mm-hmm. back, and that you're not pushing yourself on others. Like, I think we're all used to some people whenever you're at a party, and I think, you know, many of those people, Linda, having been in the professional world, they're the ones that are quick to come up to you and try and sell a service without even understanding who you are and what you do. And what I love about a book is that it's always there and that you don't have to push it upon somebody. Instead, you can refer to it and say, hey, look, in chapter, you know, I talked about that and this is what I learned. And you don't have to read the whole entire book, but I just want to let you know about it, that there's a way, there's a soft way of giving that information where it's not a push. It's more of like, hey, I just want to give it to
actually,
you.
Actually, Mary, what you point out is one of the insights that I gather from my experience with the group and also through putting the book together, which is that generally there's a discomfort on both sides when somebody who, you know, hasn't, you know, been in touch with you in a long, long time or hasn't, you know, really been somebody engaging over years, let's say, and all of a sudden that person kind of needs something and taps you, that person tends to feel awkward needing to kind of ask for support and help as they're, let's say, job seeking. And at the same time, the person on the receiving end feels a little bit put out because they feel a little bit like, oh, this person knows where to find me when they need me. But when you look at something in terms of you're bringing some value to people, so even if it has been, you know, a year or a couple of years since there's someone in your network you've been in touch with, if you're actually reaching out to them with an awareness of kind of where they are and, you know, you bring some value, information, resources, etc. to them, it definitely brings a receptivity and the person feels much more likely to say, hey, this isn't, you know, a one-way street, and they're much more likely to give back to you as well.
Interesting. So maybe we can get into some action items for the audience. So I, you know, completely don't even know where to even start to even think about what topic do I give to drive value and how do I offer that value to others? So maybe you can kind of go into that and what are some tips that you learned along the way?
Well, first I'd suggest, because the hardest thing is the proverbial blank page, you know, where do I come up with an idea? Where do I start? And so my first tip or suggestion is to check out your social media, because chances are that you probably already have written a book without realizing it. If you're like me, it's you kind of feel like, well, where's that inspiration going to come from? And then in the case of, you know, the book that I put together, I found that actually the book did write itself in terms of, you know, people just telling their stories and this being a collection or compilation of those stories. And a friend of mine also shared with me a great idea, which is she has a colleague who's a public relations person. And this woman actually has lots of fabulous bloggers on her website. And they typically have themes for the blogging on any given month. And so after she gets enough content around a certain theme, she pulls the blocks together and creates a digital book. And then she now has another product offering, another value add for people to come to her website. So, you know, I've been to her website and it's not just about the given topic of the month, but you can go peruse her archive and find all those. So it's neat because it's not that she is constantly writing this content. She has the benefit of a lot of really smart, savvy, you know, professional bloggers. And it's just a matter of her pulling that content together. So there's lots of ways to be creative about, you know, getting that content and putting it into a book. The other action item that I suggest is to investigate self-publishers, because there's certainly a lot of different publishers at this point, and I keep learning about new ones. So, in fact, you know, I think what I did with like looking to someone I knew who had done some publishing is probably a great suggestion for you, because since there are so many self-publishers, getting some insight from somebody who's actually used one is very valuable. I liked, as I said, iUniverse, because I was not you know, writing a serious tome, and because it was my first experience with a book. So I needed support from people who were used to working with beginners. But I've understood that there are some self-publishing companies, and in fact, actually even within Universe, that they'll triage the serious writers to appropriate persons in their organizations and offer appropriate levels of support. So it's definitely worth, you know, investigating to kind of make sure that you match up yourself and your interests with the appropriate self-publisher and their right package. I'd also say, you know, to, again, be creative about thinking around the benefits that self-publishing can offer you. Like, I'll give you this great example. Years ago, I interviewed someone who had an undergraduate degree from Harvard and a law degree from another university. And so, very impressive guy in and of itself. However, I was interviewing him for a marketing position, and he really had very little marketing experience. So he's really featured in his interview, this book that he had self-published. And he spoke about his motivation for doing it and how the book actually helped him to give shape to a small business that he had, and, you know, how he continued to grow that business. And I was really super impressed with the approach he took, and it felt to me like he was an intuitive marketer. And so I did hire him for the position. And I'm thrilled to say, actually, that in the years following when we worked together, that he decided that he wanted to continue building his business. And now he's doing it full time, and it's a tremendously successful business. And really, the platform to start it all was putting this book together that he could use to kind of share what his vision was. And, today he has a great list of clients, and he travels globally, and it all started with self-publishing a book. So you never know where it could take you.
So it really sounds like self-publishing kind of creates this consistency that we have amongst athletes to kind of drive that mastery, because it forces you into really thinking about sharing that knowledge in such a way that could be consumed by others, and driving that mastery. So maybe just, you know, as we're, I know we're coming into our time with people driving into work, but maybe you can kind of share some of the masteries you've learned from self-publishing, or something that you've become mindful of.
I would definitely do it again. In fact, I'm eager to self-publish again, because I've come to appreciate how, the high value it is. And plus, it doesn't have to be, you know, I think the beautiful thing about the digital era is that, you know, it used to be that, you know, we were always familiar with these, you know, books, these hardbacks that were 500, 600 pages and so on. In the digital world, when you're really talking about you want to get information out, share your insights and so on, that a book that comes in at 100, 150 pages is, you know, just dandy. And so that makes it more accessible and feasible for many people too. So I definitely took away, one, I've now got the confidence that I've done it, can do it again. I've got from the experience, I suppose you could say you also acquire a sense of, hey, I did this, I can try other things. And I also feel that it also gave me an interest in putting together, you know, some seminars and the information sharing in different platforms in order to, again, share the information that I got for the benefit of other people. So, yeah, it's kind of, you know, I would say broadened my thought process about what could be feasible for me to, you know, do, and how I can reach others and learn for myself and even develop myself professionally.
So, Linda, where can we find this book that you self-published? I think our audience is dying to hear about and see all these interviews. Yes. And I know I'm featured in your book.
But, where can they find you? The book is called Wit and Wisdom: Journeys Through Career Transition. And you can search for it in Amazon Books. And I just encourage you to put the full title, so Wit and Wisdom, Journeys Through Career Transition, because what we discovered, and we thought it's probably a happy accident, was there's lots and lots of books that begin with Wit and Wisdom. So I say happy accident because we like suddenly realized, hey, there's going to be a lot of people searching on just the terms wit and wisdom. So that's certainly an advantage for having your title pop up. And so I guess that gets to another insight is, you know, do some research around how you title your book, and you know, don't just do what we did, which was just be lucky that the title we came up with. But if you put the title Wit and Wisdom, Journeys Through Career Transition in the browser in Amazon Books, you'll find it there. But it's also in Barnes & Noble and many other sites, that any of the major sites that distribute books, you'll find it there. Thanks, Mary.
And for everybody that's driving, we'll put actual link into our show notes. So when you stop driving and you're off the road and you're safe, you can refer back to our show notes and I will put all the links there so you can find it and you won't have to worry about searching and making sure you got the right title and everything. So that will be right there for you. So I can't thank Linda enough for sharing that self-publishing. But Linda, if you were to sum up your journey in one sentence or less of this experience, what would you have to say about it?
It was exhilarating and rewarding, and I think you can't ask for anything more with any venture you take. So I think, and it's also accessible, so virtually anybody could accomplish this with just a little bit of effort.
And just to break a myth, are you a rock star, or are you just like selling your books left and right?
Actually, that's another great point. So we actually didn't do formal marketing. So the whole reason for doing this, we actually, you know, made it available mostly for the benefit of people within this industry group that we were in. And we didn't go off and do the traditional marketing. However, you know, there's certainly lots of opportunity to do marketing with this. And I certainly, for future endeavors, I probably would be more serious about marketing. In this case, my objective really was to just kind of accomplishment, see it through, make it available for the kind of narrow audience that we were looking for. And then also to use it as a marketing tool for myself and for the person who collaborated on it, and to also be able to, you know, use it as a sort of icebreaker. So we really didn't do the kind of full out marketing with it. But, you know, certainly in the future, I would definitely say, you know, the fun thing about doing efforts like this is that you can market them broadly and even, you know, potentially make money. Our goal with this was not making money through the book, but more kind of, we had a more altruistic goal with this particular effort.
So yes. We're going to have to follow up with you on your second book when it does get published and what you're doing to market around it. So obviously this is an evolving process for you, and I can't wait to hear about
that
next
Mary.
Book. I wonder what it's going to be about. So thanks, Linda, for joining us, and thanks to all of our listeners. And until next time, keep innovating. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening to the Innovateology Podcast. We hope we have generated some disruptive ideas and helped unleash that creative side. Please help us keep innovating and leave us a comment or a review on our website. Till next time, don't stop innovating.